You know, Pastor Lumide gave us the topic for the study, for Bible study this morning, the types and shadows. Now, it is important that we that are spiritual, when God wants to talk to us, he uses symbols. And concerning salvation, he uses types and the shadows. Types and shadows. Like, I don't know if you quoted Colossians chapter 2. You did.
Circumcision, yes, sir.
Fine. Eh? Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and verse 17. I don't know if you quoted it.
Okay, no, I didn't.
You didn't quote it. Okay, this is what he said.
Colossians 2, 16.
And 17.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to
what
come.
What are they?
A shadow of things to come.
All those Sabbath days, the moon, all those ordinances, they were a shadow of things to come.
But the body is of Christ.
Is of Christ. That is, they were all shadow, but the image that was given for that shadow, the shadow was announcing the presence or the coming of an image. So, if you want to understand salvation, you get the beautiful types and the shadows in the Old Testament. Then you'll understand how God will also walk with us. And so anytime God wants to talk to you, when God wants to talk to you, he uses symbols in the spirit. So one prayer we should pray is that God will grant us understanding of the types, the symbols that God gives you. For instance, some years back, before this church started, I used to visit prisons all over the country. And one time, we were at Asaba. We went to the prison at Asaba. And then, as our custom is, they enter message in that church, in that town, we will visit the pastor, the fellowship. That weekend, we will fellowship with them. Then encourage them to go to the prison and preach the message. And when I went there, there are a group of people that my church in Lagos disagree with them doctrinally, though they are followers of the ministry of William Branham. And I didn't know anything. I had not worshiped with them. I didn't come among them at all. But somehow, I saw love. They received us. They are not a small church. At least, I saw over 300 members. And he announced today we're having visitors from Lagos, and he had to come and beg me. He said, please, all my members, they heard that you are coming. Everyone is saying, come and eat in my house. No, I will be the one that will feed them. He put us in a hotel and said, please don't eat in a hotel. I don't want to have a problem with my members. They were full of love. They were struggling to be the ones to take care of us. Eventually, he solved it by saying, anything you want to bring for them, bring it to my house. We will all eat in my house. And I was wondering, my own church does not have that type of love. And you are saying that these people are wrong. But I'm seeing love. And the kind of person I am, nobody catches me. Anything I see, I believe how they follow, and without anything. Can't tell. No pastor tells me what to do and what not to do. You must convince me to see reason to do it or not to do it. If not, that's why I go look. Well, it may be a bad nature, but I think it works for me too. So that I'm not tossed to and fro. You never hear me blame anybody for any action I take. Even if you are the one that made me to do it, I did it not because you told me, but because I was convinced. If the thing failed, it's my judgment that I'll be quarreling with, not you. And so that was it. I was already with them. They gave me the address of their sister church in Lagos where they have the materials, and I was already going to, if I come to Lagos, I will go to that place and get materials. And my heart was already going among them because there was love. And in the night, it was a dream. And naturally, even as an unbeliever, as bad as I was, I never go near any married woman. If you are married, I have never. It's not in me. But here am I in a dream. I was flirting with a friend's wife. Flirting and playing very dirty game. And when I woke up from that dream, I was worried. What type of thing is this? Am I descending to start flirting with a very, my friend had a very pretty wife, very, very pretty girl. And I was flirting with her. And suddenly, while I was getting worried, he spoke to me that these people you are flirting with, they are somebody else's wife. I said, yay. I called the brother that went with me, Pastor Enoch. He's in Port Harcourt now. I said, see what I heard. These people, they have a different spirit, oh. Don't be deceived by the love they have, oh.
Prophesy, Pastor.
So that symbol of, you see how God used that symbol to talk to me. He described the bride of Jesus Christ as a wife. The church of God is his wife. Israel is a woman. In Revelation chapter 12, until she's even pregnant. So while you're thinking there's any woman, he's talking of the nation of Israel. So in your prayer, pray that God will grant you interpretation of your dreams. Because sometimes what you see, it's not literally what it is. It means something else. Why am I saying all this? When we are in a season, we are in a season of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I know how God works. Whatever program you have, the grace, the anointing for that program is released. Brethren, this is a season for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you confidently that some people are going to receive the Holy Ghost. All over the world. So I'm wondering, when I heard Prophet Jayola and even Prophet Joseph, he said he saw padlock and that I was the one that open the padlock and the people were free. Of course, that's deliverance for somebody who has been in cage. But one thing I know is that we have been breaking padlock, doing deliverance every time here. So this may be a message now that Pastor Lumide has taught us types and shadows. What could this padlock mean? And why am I the one that will break it, as anointed as Prophet Jayola is? Why did he say me? And so I'm trying to understand. Praise the Lord. If the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, let's read it. About the word of God.
For the word of God is quick and powerful,
uh-huh,
and sharper than any two-edged sword,
uh-huh,
piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit,
uh-huh,
and of the joints and marrow,
uh-huh,
and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart.
Uh-huh.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
And Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. About the word of God.
Is not my word like as a fire seared the Lord?
And what?
And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces.
Then I know that God is going to put his word in my mouth, that I'm going to say something that somebody will be liberated. Hallelujah. Remember that he gave Peter the key to the kingdom. Key unlocks. Key unlocks. And whatever has caged you, that you will not reach out and drink from the fountain of the living water. In this program, God will unlock you. I say God will unlock you. The media department, one of them came to my office during the Sunday school and asked me, what am I looking to achieve in an interview in this period? I said, number one is that somebody who has backslidden, who has lost fellowship with the Holy Ghost, shall be restored. And somebody who has remained dormant, caged in any way, the fire you used to have before was quenched, that person or those people will receive revival. And the third category of people are those who will have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that this period they will have that experience. And the last group are those who are not sure of the experience they have had before. They want a reconfirmation. These are the groups that the Lord will visit this period. And I pray that the Lord will grant our heart desire for this program in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people will be traveling from outside Lagos to come. Even, of course, last week we saw Sister Suzette from Amsterdam. She's already here the whole 21 days. She said she wanted to start with us. She arrived on Saturday to start on Sunday with us. She must get the Holy Ghost. She must receive revival. And Pastor Lawrence came with, how many people? Where's Pastor Lawrence? Pastor Lawrence? Pastor Lawrence is pastoring a church in Cameroon.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You came with some of your church members. How many of them?
Five sisters.
Five of them. What are they coming for? Revival.
Yes, sir.
Revival. They have started coming. You will not go back empty hand. You will go with your testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let me quickly conclude the message I started and I tied to the holy people of God. That is good. It's very timely in this period of the baptism of the Holy Ghost program. Yes. The last time I took it, the first part of this message, I told us that holiness is a commandment. It's a commandment. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 4.
Nevertheless,
45, sorry. Verse 45.
For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt.
Listen very well.
To be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
It's a commandment. It's a commandment. They say Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and verse 2. I'm only recapping what we said the last time we spoke about it. In case you didn't hear, hear it now.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
Uh-huh. And chapter, yes. Yes. And chapter 20, the same Leviticus, verse 7 and verse 8.
Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you.
It's a commandment. You say it is for the Old Testament. Peter repeated it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and verse 16. But he quoted it. That means it is applicable in the New Testament.
But he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
He was quoting the Old Testament. Be ye holy was quoting Leviticus chapter 11, where we read earlier in verse 45. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, I am holy. And I emphasize what Apostle Paul told the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, that without holiness, no one can see God. No one, you will not see God, will not see the Lord without holiness. And briefly, what is holiness by definition? Is being set apart for God's purpose. Being set apart for God's purpose. Involving what? A transformation of mind, a transformation of attitude, and a transformation of behavior, which is empowered only by the Holy Ghost. You cannot be holy if you don't have the Holy Ghost living in you. It's very, very important. Any other attempt to look like, you are not to look like a holy person. You are to be holy. Don't look. I had a sister of mine that used to come here. When she comes here, she will not wear a ring. She will cover her head. She will not do makeup. Then when she leaves, she will go back to wearing. So when she, wearing all those, when she was asked, she said, whenever I go bride, I go dress like them. So now you will see such a person and think she's holy. She's not holy. She's putting on holiness. Want to a holiness appearance. No. This holiness we are talking about is the holiness that comes from inside. Because a holy God dwells in you to set you apart for his use. Set you apart so that he can have fellowship with you. And I've said it. If you say you are holy, holiness is about a separation. Separation so that God, the holy God, can use you. He cannot use an unclean vessel. Try to let you that Christians are holy people of God. And I'll try to make you understand from my earlier sermon that as a Christian, the Bible refers to you, hallelujah, the Bible refers to you as a holy nation. The Bible refers to you, we are a special group of people. We are a nation. Amos chapter 3, verse 2. A selected, a chosen group of people. Chapter 3, verse 2. This is what God told Israel, whom he has chosen. What did he say?
You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
Only you, I know, of all the nations, the families of the nation, only the family of Abraham, the family of Jacob, you are the only one I know. The process of this special choosing is what the psalmist caught it in Psalm 65, I think verse 4.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest.
So you see,
and cause set to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple.
He said, blessed. Blessed. Let me read it again. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Many are called, few are chosen. But listen, when he chooses you, he also causes you to approach unto him by making you holy. That is why he gives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you come to Christ, the Bible says we are also a holy priesthood. That's who we are. That's what we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6.
And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen. Who did he make us?
Kings and priests.
We are priests. I try to explain to you. If you don't understand this, you won't know the requirement of God. You need to catch that type, that shadow of the priesthood. The lineage, the priesthood under the law. Priesthood. Those that were appointed priests, they were the children of Levites. Levite was a child of Aaron, the high priest. The father of Aaron. Sorry, please. And Aaron was the high priest. And so the priesthood was in that lineage of the tribe of Levi. Only the children of Levi were permitted to serve in the office of the priesthood. Why? Because Levi gave birth to them. Their priesthood is the order of, listen, Aaron, Aaronic priesthood. But now there is, because the law has changed, Apostle Paul taught us that, the priesthood also has changed. The interesting thing about this is that this new high priest that goes with the change of this priesthood was not in the lineage of Levi. No. He was in a different lineage because the lineage of Aaron, Levi, they were changing them. The priesthood was being changed because when one dies, another one will pick up the high priest. But this one, this priesthood abides forever. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And do you know why you need to be excited over it? The reason you need to be excited over it is because there is the law that says that a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. If you kill, you must be killed. If you murder anybody, the avenger, the relation of that person must look for you and avenge. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, do me, I do you. God, no vex. But the merciful God set himself in the land of promise, the city of refuge. And the law says, because there will be some people that it was not out of hatred, now by mistake. He went to the bush to hunt and saw your head like the head of a monkey because of the attachment you put for your head. Human being, carry something put for your head. So you think it's a monkey. Some monkeys no good hair for head. So with your gorilla head, you go enter bush. The thing they shine, hunter, look at you, I don't see meat. Bush meat. And they hear you cry, hey, you didn't mean to kill. You didn't say an animal. And so you decided, I mean, the Avenger, whatever is your reason, he must follow you to kill you. But he's put six cities surrounding. He said, in case, oh Jesus, thank you, Father. In case you kill by mistake, you are going to settle it before the judge. But before it, if you can run from where you committed it and escape from the avenger of death, from the avenger of death, if you can run and cross the border into that city, the Lord says he cannot touch you again. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, where I am going is, you, the Lord says you are to remain in that city, never to come out. If you come out, the avenger sees you, you are finished. If he kill you, your blood is upon you, it's not upon anybody, because you should have remained in the city of refuge, not in the border. There are borderline Christians. They are the ones that want to say, hey, you cannot do me anything. See the line here. He will say, hey, you can't do me anything. I cover by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. And they look, and they cover by the blood. That's the type of life we live. Instead of you to run far, because you know he's walking and praying for you to just one leg to come out so that he can cut it. That is the problem with the Christians. But where I am going, I have preached a message, the city of refuge. Go and listen to it. But what I'm going is that you are to remain there until the death of the high priest. So you have to remain in that prison forever. But, I mean, for as long as the high priest is alive, if he die, Uncle. So that's why that law was faulty. That's why this new covenant needed a different high priest. This high priest now is in the order of who? Melchizedek. Hebrew chapter 6. The last two verses in Hebrew chapter 6.
Verse 19. Uh-huh. Which hope we have as an anchor of
the soul. We have a hope which is an anchor of the soul.
Both sure and steadfast.
Sure and steadfast.
And which entereth into that within the veil.
Uh-huh. Now verse 20, listen.
Without the forerunner.
The forerunner, the one that has gone ahead of us, he has entered.
Even Jesus.
Who is he?
Made an high priest forever.
Made an high priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Who is this Melchizedek? Chapter 7, verse 1.
For this Melchizedek.
This Melchizedek.
King of Salem.
The king of Salem.
Priest of the Most High God.
Who is he?
Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed
him.
To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all.
Uh-huh.
First being by interpretation, king of righteousness.
King of righteousness.
And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace.
Uh-huh.
Without father.
This is who he is.
Without
he
mother.
He is not an orphan. Nobody gave birth to him. He is self-existing.
Without mother.
He not get mama.
Without descent.
He not get lineage.
Having neither beginning
nor get
this,
tribe. He not get birthday.
Nor end of life.
He not they die.
But made like unto the Son of God.
Well, what does he do?
Abideth a priest continually.
That is our high priest. That is the blessed assurance we have. That is the anchor we have that is sure and steadfast. We are movable. You can't do anything to us. We are hiding under his blood. And we are priests with him. We are priests with him. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. What did he call
also
us?
Also, as lively stones.
Yes.
I built up a spiritual house.
Yes.
An holy priesthood.
We are a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. To do what?
To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God
that
by Jesus
Christ.
That
is what we are called. Like the Levites, we are offering sacrifices unto God. We too, we are to offer sacrifices to God. That is why every Christian, you receive the Holy Ghost, you have a gift to use to serve God. Hallelujah. Verse 9 of that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
For ye are a chosen generation.
We are chosen. We are chosen. Somebody say, I am a chosen.
A royal priesthood.
We are a royal what?
Priesthood.
We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar. Oh, glory be to God. We are a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. We are peculiar. Don't blend with the world. We are peculiar. We are peculiar to do what? To do what? What is the
that
purpose?
That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous
we
light.
We are called to show forth the praises of him. So that you'll understand why the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. When he says that we are called to show forth his praises, what he's saying is that we're a people that should visibly, people, when they look at us, people should visibly see the things God is praised for. The things that make God to be worshipped, to be praised for. Let them see it visibly in our life and in our works. That is what we are called for. He gives us the Holy Ghost so that he can manifest himself through us. He can let the world know there is a God somewhere. If you see me, you see my Father. If you see me, you see the Father, you see God. How? By the life that we live. That's what you see in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 5. Hallelujah.
Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back.
Uh-huh.
Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth.
Uh-huh.
Even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him
for what?
My glory.
What were you created for?
For my glory.
For my glory. God created every one of us that we say we are his children is to declare his glory. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
We are who?
Ambassadors for Christ.
We are who?
Ambassadors for Christ.
Wait, this is the definition of an ambassador in case. He said, an ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic official sent by one government to another as their official representative in the foreign country. Let me read it again. You didn't hear me. So that you will know who you are. An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic official sent by one government to another government as their official representative in that foreign country. The ambassador acts as the personal representative of their head of state or government in the host country. What are they there to do? They are there to promote their country's interests in the host country. So you hear even some products, they get certain people and they call them brand ambassadors. A brand ambassador is anyone appointed to represent a brand, a cause, or an organization. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Always remember that the glory of God must be seen in us who are here. Listen, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21. Philippians chapter 20, chapter 3, verse 20.
For our conversation is in heaven.
Listen, our lifestyle, conversation here is lifestyle, is dictated from heaven.
From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listen.
Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Praise the Lord. What that our conversation is heaven, another word for it is our citizenship is from heaven. Our citizenship is from heaven. So that you understand John chapter 17, verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ was talking concerning his disciples, and we are also his disciples.
I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world.
Yes.
Even as I am not of the world.
They are not of the world because he himself is not of this world. The world, he has the world system. The world system. Read on.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world.
They are not of the world.
Even as I am
not
of the world.
I am not of the world, said the Lord Jesus. We are not. We read this scripture so that some of you will know that these things we are saying is in the Bible. It's the Bible we are obeying. John chapter 8, Jesus had this to say in verse 23.
And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world.
Do you know who he was talking to? He was talking to religious people. To tell you that there are worldly Christians who claim to be Christians, but they are not heavenly Christians. Worldly Christians. John chapter 18. In verse 36,
listen. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world.
My kingdom is not of this world. Listen.
If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence.
My kingdom is not here. My kingdom is heavenly. So, somebody sent a message to a question to me last Sunday when I was talking about people who will go and become kings, and they said they are born again Christians, they are ministers of God, live preaching the gospel to go and be custodian of their people's culture as their traditional rulers. You say, what of those who are appointed into political offices? Any Christian, in fact, the best thing that can happen to any Christian is to be appointed into government. Because you take the light there. But I want us to be very, very sincere. Before you can get a political office, you will be a politician. And before you become, to be a politician, an effective until you are recognized by the leaders of the political party, until they can give you political appointment, you will have compromised your Christian faith. Because two cannot work together except they agree. Let us be sincere. In a symbolic way, it was when it came to pass that I understood. My wife is aware of this. That sometimes in the early 90s, I was in a revelation. And I was appointed the governor of my state. And that revelation, I told my wife, I said, which kind of revelation be this? I'm not into politics. They came together, I was not there, but they said, this is the person that will be our governor. And in that revelation, as we are watching the television, they were announcing my name as the governor. And I told my wife, I told them in the dream, I said, look at these people. They are appointing me to be governor. Do they know what it means for a Christian to be a governor? They think it will be as usual, Abby. If they know what thing they do, they're not going to appoint me. It was a dream. I came out of that dream and I shared it with my wife. Small time again, a few months after, the dream repeated. Again, I was announced, the governor. This time around, the state was a Western Nigerian state. This time, it was by the military. And in that dream, I was telling my wife, I said, come on, shall I tell you that I had a dream? Now, it's a dream at the talk, so tell you that I had a dream that I was appointed governor. You don't happen to see him. And so we were hearing siren coming. I told her, I said, now first lady, you be now. Protocol, they come. I think they hear siren. They will soon come and carry us now. They go with security everywhere. I woke up. I said, which kind of thing be this? The day that dream I understood was when I started reflecting on how I became the pastor of this church. And the ministers that came together had appointed me to be the pastor. I had reason 3 times to tell them I am resigning. Until the third one, an elderly man said, I should stop that. Every small thing I could say, I resign, they go. Then I made the statement. I said, do you people know who I be before you make me your pastor? You think it's going to be business as usual, Abi? Huh? Then I said, I've made this statement before. Then I reflected. Types and shadows. The kingdom of God, he was giving me part of the kingdom to rule. And today, it is in Lagos. Amen. And now I have police security as protocol, exactly as I saw in that revelation. Praise the Lord. That is our kingdom. We had the story of Billy Graham. When they wanted to make him the president of America because he was the most popular, most respected preacher in America at that time. And we remember that statement. He said, don't insult me. The position I occupy is higher than the president of America. Hey, see revelation. Hallelujah. My kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom too is not of this world. And what we're doing now is political campaign for our president. Hey! That's why he said, he that winneth the soul is what? He's wise, because we will sit and also rule with him. Everyone that contributed to the success of Tinubu being president, they have all been rewarded with one political appointment or the other. And our God is more faithful than a human being. He never forgets your labor of love. He will reward us accordingly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we are pilgrims. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, we are not of this world. We are only passing through this world.
These all died in
all faith, these heroes of faith,
not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off.
Yes.
And we are persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Uh-huh. That they were what?
Strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Go ahead.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
We are all seeking a country. That is why we behave the way we behave. We are not of this kingdom. We live differently. Please finish reading from verse 16.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned.
Uh-huh.
But now they desire a better country.
A better country.
That is,
a heavenly country.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to
call. We are not ashamed to call him our God.
For he has prepared for them a city.
We are not ashamed to call him our God. Because we know what is ahead of us. The cross of Jesus Christ, the songwriter says, is an emblem of suffering and shame. But Christ went through it. Why? He said, for the joy, because of the joy that was set before him. He endured. He endured the shame. He endured the suffering. He endured the caricature they were making of us. He endured it. He endured it. Why? Abraham endured it. The Jews endured it. Those heroes of faith endure. Why? Because God showed them that there is a country far beyond the starry sky. There is a city where there never comes a night. If we are faithful,
we shall go there by and by.
We don't know. All these frustrations we have, we feel that we are a failure. We feel that we have failed, we are frustrated. Car I don't have. Imagine my age, 50, up to now, no husband, no wife, no house of my own. Suffering. If you have the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Ghost, all you need has been given to you. Hallelujah. It's a revelation. When you catch what is ahead for you, the life we live is a reflection of that understanding that we have. Abraham looked for a city. He saw that city was so fine. The foundation cannot, this will not be man maker. That songwriter also saw it. And he said, I have heard of a land in the far west. It's a beautiful home of the soul. Not built by man. Built by Jesus on high. Where we never shall die. It's a land where we never go. Never go. That is the land where we go.
In a land where
we never grow old. One of these days, we will leave this place. There's a place prepared for us. That the same thing Revelated songwriters one wrote. He said, this weary world with all its toils and struggles, if we recall it's borrowed for a while. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, these were revelated apostles.
Love what did not he say? The world.
Again.
Love not the world.
Uh-huh.
Neither the things that are in the world.
See, listen. Listen very well. He didn't say, don't get the things that are in the world. He didn't say so. Because the clothes we wear is in this world now. The houses we sleep on is in this world now. The cars we drive is in this world now. Getting it is different from loving it. Go ahead.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Certainly. Go ahead.
For all that is in the world.
All that is in the world.
The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Therefore.
And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
And the will of God can only be done if you receive the Holy Ghost. If you don't catch it, you won't know how to pray to have eternal life. That's the truth. That is why James, another one now. See, we don't hear Apostle Paul. We don't hear Peter. We don't hear John. James chapter 4, verse 4.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses.
You thought that he's talking about women when they go sleep about, men when they go sleep about with people when they're not married. What did he say?
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
So what is adultery? Adultery is befriending the world systems. When you yoke yourself so much until when they look at you, are you a Christian? They want to ask, are you a Christian? When they open your Facebook page, are you a Christian? What are you showing there? What are you known for? What are you known for? Even for the women, this is how Christ, Peter put it, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The commandment for the women, for verse 1. What did
likewise
he say?
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation.
While the world will behold your husband that are unbelievers, they will look at you and they will look at your chaste lifestyle that is coupled with fear. Here is humility, respect.
Who's adorning?
When they look at you,
let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair.
It is not your hairstyle that should be your identity.
And of wearing of gold.
Because these are all worldly fashions.
Of putting on of apparel.
You should not be known by the gold you decked yourself or the expensive clothes you wear that makes you compete with the world's celebrities. No. But what?
But let it be the hidden man of the heart.
And that is why the Holy Ghost is interested in your heart. You see? In that which is not corruptible.
Even the ornament.
See the jewelry. See the spiritual jewelry. This is your spiritual ornament.
Of a meek and quiet spirit.
Meek and quiet spirit.
Which is in the sight of God of great pride.
This is the beauty of every Christian, the type of heart you have, not a wicked heart, not a worldly heart, every style of cloth you want to. I wore this one last year now. Last year Holy Ghost program. You know, these people are, and the women, they think they catch pass. One of my daughters here say, daddy, to tell you how much they hear me now. He said, one cloth that I wore 2 Sundays ago, I've been the last Sunday, do you know that they brought it and said the same date, 1 year ago, the same date, that it is the same cloth I wore and preached, and they brought the video and the picture for last Sunday, they said, see, I'm the same cloth, women, fashion. I wear one shirt. He said, now, that is only this shirt you get. You wear them. So day, you wear them. So day, you wear them. What did they do, this shirt? Change it now. That's their way. Now, cloth than this. You know, I wore this cloth last Holy Ghost program. No, I must buy new cloth for this Holy Ghost program. Who they look you? Nobody they see you. But it means so much to them. That is why the gospel seems to concentrate so much on women, because when it comes to worldliness, they are the first to be guilty of it. You see men, they wear high heel. A short man remains a short man. What in concern now? He knows once he has money, no woman could look in height before he marry him. He's working very hard to have money. You see man, they bleach. Any man you see where they bleach, he has a psychiatric problem. Praise the Lord. No, but that's the truth now. What we are thinking of is we are too busy thinking of so women have special soap. Man, not any soap you see for bathroom in the bath. Why are women rejecting this, disputing this fact? Is it not true? Except if your husband has special soap, evil communication, corrupt, good manners. Now you influence him. You are the one. He copy it from you. Now you the buyer for him. You know, no man will carry money, say, now this soap are they use. No man. Now you the go carry and say, may they use this soap. May they use this soap. It's true. He called it adultery. That is who you are before God. When you get so worldly, God is looking at you as an adulterer, an adulteress. And you know, you say, but what of these ones? Can't you see Mommy Gio? Can't you see this choir for that church? Can't you see this? And then, can't you see that they're celebrities? They are this. This is what Jesus Christ, John was the one, he said it in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 18 and verse 19. Listen, we hear they will hate us.
If the world hates you,
they will hate you because of the way you live your life.
Ye know that it hated me before it hated you.
Uh-huh.
If you were of the world will love his own.
If you are of the world, any Christian that is a celebrity in the world, it is because you are worldly. You are of the world. You are their own.
But because ye are not of the world,
okay,
but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you.
And why does the world listen to them? 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5.
They are of the world.
These preachers are of the world. Don't make anybody, any church, any preacher, any GO your standard, because you think that they are celebrated by the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Motivational speakers, and the world heareth them. Who are the members of their churches? They are worldly people. They are worldly people. But Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12, concerning grace. What does grace
for
teach?
The grace of God that bringeth salvation.
There is the grace that brings salvation. There is another grace that has no salvation attached to it. But the one that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Say what?
Teaching us that.
It grace teaches. Grace teaches that what?
Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts.
We should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts.
We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Oh.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our
Apostle
Savior.
Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 put it this way, verse 11. What did he say? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works.
We are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what?
Reprove them.
So, what did he say in verse 12?
For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret.
Okay, there are some things that Christians don't even talk. There are some things that, some conversations shouldn't talk. Some conversations shouldn't talk. If I tell you people the things pastor they see, pastor they hear, with evidence, waiting people they do with their phone, waiting and they talk to each other, church members, I mean Bride Assembly church members. I don't get one new catch. Can't teach me the style where I'm going to use with them. In this church, in this church, you say, so now you can understand why sometimes I run mad. Because there are some things where I go see like this, my head go kolo. I can't understand that I'm pastoring that type of group of people. Where you go see like from corner of the church, in the corner there. Then they hug themselves. It happened. We don't solve a case entire. And when you catch them, they will say, I don't know what came over me. I don't know what came over me. I know, say, now me, they talk about before uncle. Now you. I cannot run mad to call your name, sir. If I call your name, now madness, temporary madness, now it come upon me. Because I don't want to destroy anybody. We are called to build. And some of them may be genuine children of God, yoking themselves with tears and living the life of unbeliever. But this Holy Ghost period, that dirty spirit will be washed out of everyone in the name of Jesus. So that you can hear the admonishment of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. What did he say?
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning
what he's saying at the revelation of Jesus, that is at the coming of the Lord Jesus, when he will come, reveal himself to us to take us home.
As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust.
Don't fashion yourselves according to the former lust When you were an unbeliever, ignorance, you didn't know that God didn't like it. God hates what the Bible called the works of the flesh. Uh-huh.
But as he which has called you is holy,
so the one that called you, come to me. The one telling you to come, he is holy. As he which has called you is holy,
so be holy in all manner.
In all your lifestyle, all manner of conversation. Uh-huh.
Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Number 17.
And if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
Fear. Don't take him for granted. Don't take him for granted. Two groups. Genuine children of God, you will lose your peace. You will never have joy. You will never have peace. No matter how you try to say, now your uncle, they do me. Now your brother, they do you. Now if a man's way please the Lord, your uncle will be at peace with you. Your neighbors will be at peace with you. If your life is pleasing before God and these things happen, then God is allowing it to perfect you. He will give you grace to carry on. You won't lose your peace like that. The second group that must fear God is that there is hellfire awaiting those who disobey God, who refuse to yield themselves for God to clean them up. You must know that. That is why you are not to follow them. If you understand what I've been preaching, then you'll understand why Christians will not put a tattoo. It's an identity of non-believers. If you acquired it as an unbeliever, the mercy of God covers you. You didn't know. But don't go back again to add to it. Don't go back to add. Don't do it again. Don't burn your children and put hole in their ear. They're Christians. It's my mother-in-law. He said you must put it. Now your mother-in-law burn the picking. Now you get them. It's my husband. No? He said you no one trouble. Oh. Now your mama say, oh, mama say. Did you hear that for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be clean to the wife? You see, mama is still telling you what to do with your wife. Maybe mama they tell you how now they sleep two together. Everything, my mama, my mama, my mama, my mother, my mother, my mother, my mother, very shameless man. My mother, you never grow. When will you grow and become a man? Your mother, your father is a visitor to your house. Your wife is not the owner of that house. Your wife is the owner of that house, not your senior sister, not your junior sister. The final say in that house is your wife. It's your wife. It's your wife. It's your wife. Anything short of that, you are creating trouble in that house. That woman must not abuse that liberty. You must be tolerant. If you are a woman that will not allow your husband's relations to come in, hey, you are a knife, not a wife. You should be so sweet that your in-laws will gang up with you against your wicked husband. Not gang up with them. Prove to them that you didn't come to take the attention of their picking away from them. Every time, remind you don't send money, go give mama. If you don't send, call mama. Mama, they disturb my husband. Somebody send money to you. No greedy give you. You declare yourself indirectly. See, I'm there here. Talk to them. I don't tell you somebody send that money. So go to them. He collect money yesterday. Collect salary yesterday. I said, may you carry some money. Give you. He no give you. Mama, I say I want to spend 1 week in the village with you. Now he no grill. Now he no grill. I want come. You declare yourself. You go clear yourself. God will give you wisdom in Africa, to handle your husband. Don't let the world dictate to you whether you are beautiful or not. Why do you appear like this? Anytime you see worldly people telling you, why do you appear like this? It is evidence. People say, you don't be rich. Yeah. But when they see a worldly people, they walk out for the street, they go, wow, this is a beautiful girl, beautiful. See your bum bum, see this one for the street, you are a worldly person. That is why the world is attractive to you. They should see you and respect you, and not see you as an object of fun. When they see you, their appearance will say, Bill, I said, a woman of God be this. Not to see you and then they are coming to lust after you. Check your appearance when it gets to that level. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, and 15. What did Apostle Paul tell the Thessalonican church?
We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast.
What should he say?
Stand fast.
Stand fast.
And hold the traditions
which you have been taught. Hold the traditions which you have been taught.
Whether by word or our epistle.
Hold, we have a tradition that has been passed down to us by the apostles. They are written in the Bible. Let it be your standard. Hold fast. We are ambassadors, brethren. If you give me very few more minutes, I can give you an illustration. Two or three illustrations. The first one, so that you'll understand what is expected of us, is the story of that prince, an African prince, that during the colonial master, the slave trade period, that they came and captured them, he was included. And he was sent to Europe for the slave market. But anytime the slave merchants come to buy slaves in that slave market, there is this one that stood out. He was always separating himself from other slaves. When they want to price, the man will say, no, go that side, buy from these ones. Except you have one problem. And the one asked, say, what is it about that one? And the owner of the slave said, he too was wondering that anything these slaves are doing, this one will not do it. He was always standing different. He will move away from them. Until he tried to find out, who are you? And discover that where we captured him, he was the son of a king. He was a prince of the king of his village. And that is the mentality he still holds. He knows who he is, even as a slave. Whatever situation you find yourself, know your origin. We are citizens of heaven. We are not of this world. And the story of Daniel, chapter 1, tells us clearly also the same type of story. They were in the slavery in the under the Babylonian Empire. When the king of Babylon came and scattered them and took them to Babylon as slaves. Children of God, we are slaves. Read it from verse 1, Daniel chapter 1. Just get this story. We will close.
In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it.
Yes.
And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that should bring certain of the children of Israel,
uh-huh,
and of the king's seed and of the princes,
uh-huh,
children in whom was no blemish,
but
well favored, and mm-hmm, skillful in all wisdom,
uh-huh,
and cunning in knowledge and understanding science,
uh-huh,
and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace,
uh-huh,
and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of
what,
the Chaldeans.
What are they to gather them to do? To teach them what?
The learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans.
That is the Babylonians. Uh-huh.
And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. that at the end thereof, they might stand before the king.
So they are to undergo a process for how many years?
3 years.
For 3 years to indoctrinate them and make them forget their origin, their tradition of their fathers, so that they will now imbibe the tradition and the culture of the Babylonians that they are strangers in. Slaves. Go ahead.
Now, among these, we have the children of Judah, Daniel
Hananiah,
Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names.
What did he call them?
So he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar,
uh-huh,
and to Ananiah of Shadrach,
uh-huh,
and to Mishael of Meshach,
uh-huh,
and to Azariah of Abednego.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you are hearing their story now. Listen.
But Daniel proposed.
This is where we are going. They brought these four of them among the others that they brought. Among the Jews, they were the four they caught. They are supposed to stay there, and the process will include eating the food in the king. It will be a special type of food, food that is prepared according to the tradition. Go ahead.
But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile
himself. Where did he propose?
In his heart.
In his heart. You see why God is interested in your heart? Uh-huh.
That he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat,
okay,
nor with the wine which he drank.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
He called the person that they put in charge of them. The Bible said that he found favor before this king and said, please, please, don't give me all this thing that they offer for this palace, because you know they offer them to idols. And where we come from, we don't eat anything offered to idols. We are only slaves here. No, we are not Babylonians. We are not Chaldeans. Please. Go on.
Now God has brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs.
You know where we are? If a man's way please the Lord, anywhere you enter, favor will be following you. Favor will be following you. Just there. The man just took interest in Daniel. Go ahead.
And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should you see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to
he
the
said,
king.
Wait. How can you ask me like that? You don't want to eat this food. If the 3 years reach now, and then the king said, bring you, and then they see the four of you, all of you are looking kwashoko, while others are looking robust. Don't you think that you are risking my life? You can kill me? What did Daniel say?
Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days.
Come and confirm it. Oh, Jesus. They that know their God. He said, come and prove us. 10 days. Just give us only 10 days. And this is why you should give us.
Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink.
And my Bible call it beans. Lettuce. Beans. That is what he said. Just give us only that one. Uh-huh.
Then let our
and give us water. Give us water to drink. Then what?
Let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy
servants. So for 10 days, don't feed us only. Let the rest eat this. But me and this, my three brothers here, give us this lettuce. Let us just be eating only that. And give us water. After 10 days, come and compare us with these other ones where they chop these people, this king of idol food. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them. How many days?
10 days.
Go ahead.
And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in
flesh
than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat.
God will prove himself. You can't stand for him and be ashamed. Can't stand for him. Don't lose your birthright. Don't offer yourself for what you think you will get from a man and lose connection with God. You read it, the story goes on. Why? Because he stood with God, even in Babylon, in slavery. Whatever condition, wherever you are, stand with God. Stand with God. You remember another period where Daniel They say you should not pray in another name for a particular period. Daniel said, me, I should not pray to my God. Only pray in the name of the king. Is there any God beside the God of Israel? We will not pray in the name of... He used to pray 3 times a day. The Bible says he will enter his house and open window. Look at look at me. And he will pray 3 times. Of course, he was the target. They knew that he will not bend. Sometimes they set up trap for you in your office. Set up trap because they know that you are not part of them. They caught him before a king that has power over his life. He didn't deny it. I won't bow myself to any king. It threw him into the den of lion. Did the lion eat him? Did the lion eat him? Stand fast. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said they will not bow to that image of Nebuchadnezzar. It's true. They will not bow. They threw them to the furnace of fire. The next day, when they went there, instead of three, they saw an angel there also. 4 of them. Oh, glory be to God. Did he not say, when you pass through the fire, I will be there? You pass through the flood, I will be there? Oh, somebody, you will pray, Lord, increase my faith. Say it. Say it. Say it very well. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. You now understand the admonishment of Apostle Paul to Timothy. Why he said that.
Thou endure. Therefore, endure hardness,
yes,
as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Endure it.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs
Don't
of this life.
Don't entangle yourself with any distraction with the affairs of this life. Be focused.
That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
And when we talk about this stand fast, another story comes to my mind, the Rechabites. In Jeremiah chapter 35, please, let's read that as the last example.
The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of
Jeremiah. Who is Jeremiah? A major prophet. The prophet of the age. The voice of God to that generation. He only has thus said the Lord. Are you hearing my emphasis? The mighty man of God. The general of the army of the Lord. He came. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from God. Verse 2.
Go unto the house of the Rechabites.
What should he do?
Speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Into one of the chambers. And give them wine to drink.
He should give them wine. It's God that said, go. Go and give them wine to drink. Go ahead.
Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Abazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord.
Listen very well, Luke.
Into the chamber of the sons of Anan, the son of Gadaliah, a man of God.
Brought them into the temple.
Which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door.
Uh-huh.
And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine.
Prophet of God said, thus said the Lord, and it has never failed. He said, drink ye wine. It's God that said you should drink it. Go ahead.
But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father,
what
commanded,
did they say?
We will drink
to
no wine.
To the face of the prophet, we will not drink any wine. Why?
For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers.
He said, hey, I wish I have time to break this down. Listen, or the reason you say God tell you, I know I can say God tell you, but I have a commandment from my father. He told us that when we are in a strange land, he said we should not drink wine there. We should not build houses there. Do you know why? He said, and what again?
Neither sow vineyards.
We should not. Now, so vineyards, look at the three things seed. There.
Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any.
But what?
All your days ye shall dwell in tents.
Dwell in tents.
That ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers.
The wise man, that son of Rechab, that told his children, so that you will live long in a strange land, what is actually telling him is, don't start fighting over landed property. Don't go struggling for land. A chair will hold you for nothing. Don't go and start, you know, living a life where you are fighting with the owners of the land like that, because you are a stranger. He said, so that you will live long in the land that you are a stranger. He's talking about Christians. But how did they find themselves in Jerusalem? The next verse.
Verse 8. Thus have you obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us.
We have obeyed him.
To drink no wine all our days, we, our sons,
we, nor our wives, our sons, nor our daughters.
Nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us.
Listen very well.
But it came to pass.
This is the reason, you know, where we are today.
When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come and let us go.
They are not Jews, so they are not Jews. That's why they are strangers in Jerusalem, in Israel. See their history here.
Come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem.
That is why we moved to Jerusalem. We don't belong here. We know where they come from. Immediately they said that, the word of the Lord.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words?
That story is instructive to believers. What did he say?
Verse 14. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandments. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearken to me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them. But these people are not hearkening unto me. Therefore, thus said the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against
them.
Because I have spoken
his own
unto
children,
them, but ye have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus said the Lord of hosts,
now listen to it,
the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he had commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me
he
forever.
Blessed them. He blessed them. If these people will obey their father like that, that is the kind of spirit that I want. If I am your father, where is my honor? He asked them in the book of Malachi one time. That is the problem we have. The truth about it is, he who called us, he is faithful. He will keep his word. He will keep his promise. Apostle Paul says so to the Corinthians and to the Thessalonians. He told them, stand fast. Don't be shaking. Don't be afraid. He who told you to stand like this, he will stand with you. He's faithful. He has something better awaiting us. Don't be distracted. Don't be tossed to and fro by the nonsense that is going on in the Christian faith today. My desire is that God will have a place where he can truly say, this is my beloved assembly in whom I am well pleased. Not just pleased, but pleased to dwell in. My prayer is that when we come to an extent, see, this man you are looking at, I have a revelation of what God has for me beyond here. I am telling you, I have a revelation. And I want to be a partaker of what God has shown me. And I know sometimes I am very hard with the people, especially those who are close to me. But I'm telling you, I mean well for you. I mean well for you. There is no reason at all to fight anyone. However, I am not God. I am not God. I am a lifesaver. But all professional lifesavers in the sea, there is a wisdom they use to save people who are drowning in the ocean, and this time the ocean of the world, inside the water. When the person is struggling, he's drinking water, struggling and suffering, anything he grabs his hand upon, we go down with him. He will think it is stick. So lifesavers, they will just be dancing around, they'll be swimming around that person. The person will come out, drink some water. He's battling until he has no more strength. Then the lifesaver will dive and carry him and bring him out and press out all the water. Press out all the water. Press out all the water. That is exactly the condition of many of you that have found Bread Assembly Church. God allow you to see that you need help. You are dying. Then he brings you to a ministry like this. Then we are busy pushing out worldliness out of you. Pushing out the reason why you have been suffering. Pushing out. Pushing it out. Then when we push you out, then you will see the lifesaver, because you are fainting. He will put his mouth in your mouth, in his nose, and breathe life into you. And then you will have life again. Somebody, you will receive the life of the Holy Ghost this period. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are ambassadors for Christ. But let me tell you that some ambassadors, sometimes they are recalled. When you don't do what you're supposed to do, your home country will call you. That is why some Christians die untimely death. Now God, they kill you. He's calling you home. Instead of you to live on earth here and disgrace his name. Yes, he can go as far as that to kill his son. Instead of allowing you to disgrace him. That's the truth. We must live honestly, unblameable. We must live a life with focus on Christ and Christ alone. These people that preach worldliness, tattoo, doesn't matter. This one doesn't matter. Dressing doesn't matter. God did not send them. Oh, it's serpent. Satan that sent them. It's serpent speaking again. To seduce the children of God and get us into trouble with God. That is why the anointing you have is not flowing. That is why we are so weak. Our allegiance as ambassadors. We are in a strange land. Our allegiance is in Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We pledge our allegiance to him and him alone. The author of life.
I have heard our Christians long ago. would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny, like a grave. Almost here, their voices ring.
I pledge allegiance to the
Lord. With all my strength.
I will sing to honor these.
for you that when the 21 days is coming to an end, you'll be able to say this confidently in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your